It's time for Appraise This here on Robinhood Radio. Tim and Greg join us on a weekly basis, but Tim once again is busy as a bee, and he was going to join us, but is filling in and talking at wherever he is today. And so we have, of course, the guy who is rock steady at home, and that is Greg. Greg, nice to speak to you again today.
Good morning. Yeah, Tim is in Houston at the ISA annual national conference, and he just signed up to go as a participant, you know, just to be there. And at the last minute, the speaker this afternoon was taken ill. So naturally, since Tim is a natural at this, who do you think they called on? So he's busy trying to pull together a presentation for about 45 minutes from now. So,
oh, I'm sure he's going to do just fine.
I'm sure he'll be fine. Tim could talk the leg off a piano.
I know. All right. I want to start off with an interesting story that I found. I think that an auction that took place just recently, and they called it the Mona Lisa of the Deep. Hundreds of pictures and treasures from a gold rush era shipwreck pulled in $1.1 million. This ship sank in 1857, hauling gold from San Francisco to New York. And this was at the height of the gold rush. So right now, $1.1 million brought in at an auction, which dates back to all the contents to the gold rush.
Wow. Where was the auction?
It was a couple of days ago. I think it was on March 13th, I think. There's a picture that they call that the Mona Lisa of the Deep. It's a painting of an unknown woman, and it's dubbed Mona Lisa of the Deep, recovered from the ship of gold shipwreck. You can I think if you Google Mona Lisa of the Deep.
Oh, I just pulled up the photograph. It's a daguerreotype. Oh my God, it's amazing how in what good condition it's in. It must have been in very cold water because. Yes.
What I like about it, they named it Mona Lisa the Deep, and it's not like Mona Lisa, but the minute you hear Mona Lisa, you can see why they called it Mona Lisa the Deep.
Yeah, she has rather an enigmatic look on her face.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. I want to do some research on that and find out what else was what they found, and you know what survived, because just to be in the water for that long, it's amazing that anything survived.
Yeah, you know, staying with ships, this is pretty interesting. A person made a scale model of the SS Central America. They did it in 1991, okay? And believe it or not, it sold at auction for $42,000. Now, that's pretty good for something that's was made that current to sell. And it really is a pretty cool looking ship. But the highest selling auction at that auction was a 32.15-ounce gold nugget.
Oh, well, gold doesn't tarnish. Let's just, if you're going to put something on a ship to sink, it should be gold or diamonds because they're not changing. And my gosh, it'd be interesting to find out what the value of gold was then for that weight and what it's worth today.
That well, the gold nugget sold for $138,000 today, far above the current gold content value of $60,000. So even by today's standards, it went for more.
I'm surprised I did not. I'm on all of the lists for getting all of these notifications for what's interesting things that are coming up. But Google let me down this time. I can't believe I don't. This is the until you mentioned it. It's the first time I heard of this. So I'll have to. That intrigues me. I love history. I love to read things about history, and I want to find out about this ship. I want to find out what with the stuff that was on it, and if it was a pat, was it a passenger ship or was it a? I mean, it, if it had personal items on it, I'm assuming that there were people on board that lost, you know, passengers that lost their lives as well. So I'll have to. You don't happen to know what the name of the ship was, do you?
Yeah, the SS South America.
SS South America. I'm gonna. You better believe I'm going to look that up, because that's intriguing to me. And I have something I want to ask you.
All right.
2 weeks ago, we talked about, you brought up the Julian's auction about Banksy.
Yeah.
So naturally, I go on to Julian's and I keep looking and looking. I found the sale. And believe it or not, there are only four items of Banksy in the auction. Everything else has nothing to do with Banksy. So the items that are up, they're quite high. One of them actually is pretty high. But there are only four items in it. They're at the end of the auction. The rest of the auction is contemporary stuff, posters, art from there's some really fun things that were some pieces of art that were done by Jim Carrey that are signed, they're original, and they're of Donald Trump. And I'm going to send you the link, because to look, who knew Jim Carrey could draw? These are really great caricatures, and I hope they do really well, because in spite of the fact of what the subject matter is, they're very, very clever. So I'm going to send you the link so you can look at it and see. And
well, he started to draw and paint at a time when he was burnt out about making movies and everything. And everybody said, oh, here's another artist. You know, here's another person that wants to paint. Well, guess what? His creations actually became very popular. Because, you know, I think when you have a comedic mind like Jim Carrey or any of the other people that are way out there, you know, it's going to transfer into some other form of expression.
Well, yeah, and it kind of has to when you're that creative. But I think one of the best ones of there's like six or seven. He has one of Putin holding the presidential jet in his hands with the smirk on his. They're very clever. And then I think the funniest one is the one, you know, it's a very famous photo of Rudy Giuliani with his mouth yelling when he was screaming.
Yep.
And that's the one that he actually caricatured. And they're very, very clever. And, you know, it doesn't really matter what side of the aisle you're on. They're just very clever and very, very good. So and you can find them at julianslive.com, and you can go to the Banksy sale and you can find them about halfway through their lot, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27. So I highly urge you to go, because it's really a good chuckle. I mean, and God knows we need something to laugh about these days.
No doubt about it. You know, it's funny. When I have alerts come to me during the week on auctions, and it seems like every other alert is from Christie's. So they must have a promotion department that is second to none. But anyway, to get away from that, they just sold Adam Lindemann's collection, $32 million for that collection in the auction.
Yeah, that we've been following that, because that was a very high and very prestigious auction, and it did really, really well. And of course, there again, how many times you've heard it say, good stuff always sells well. And this sale really, really did did well. And it was some really fantastic stuff, and things that, you know, some one of a kind things, some very high end. And the Hindman just actually had another one as well that was very interesting. And it was a 3-day sale, And, you know, when you have a single owner sale like this, the stuff has to be primo, because you just cannot, you can't maintain a single owner sale without good stuff. So the one, the Christie's sale was really one of the highlights, I think, of the auction season.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the quote that Lindemann told ArtNet News. Here's a quote. "It was amazing to have the opportunity to use these works of art to tell a story about myself, my aesthetic, what I like, and how I see the world of design and the world of art." That's just, you know, I just think that's a pretty cool way to look at it.
Yeah. And the other thing about the sale was there are things that haven't been seen in the market. These were things that were from his collection. So a lot of them haven't been seen for many years, if ever, by the public. So just the opportunity to be able to look online and see what was in the collection, I think was kind of a privilege, because you can see it was a very well curated collection.
And to show you, yeah, it's about money, but it's also what that quote shows. It's when they sell these collections and amass these collections, it really is. It tells you a lot about their personalities and who they are. It's not just about the money.
Yeah, you know, that's very true. You made a very good point there. A lot of times you can get a feeling of what the character or the personality of the owner is by what they collect, because there might be some typical things that you would expect somebody of wealth to collect. And then every once in a while, you find these little nuggets that say, gee, that doesn't really seem like something they'd collect. And that's usually the thing that really dictates the sensibility of the collector, because it's almost like a fingerprint in a way. At least I believe that, because you can see, you can get a glimpse into what this person was thinking when he was putting this collection together. So it was, you know, like I said, it's really was one of the highlights of the auction season.
You know, and we talk about baseball cards this time, but once again, in an article dated March 17th, Ruth Mantle Aaron smashed their way into the record books during the Wyndham Platinum Night Sports Auction. A 1952 Topps metal graded card sold for $1,095,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and how many times have we been in this position where we say, and just when we thought that they couldn't sell any higher, they do. And that's just the way it is with some of the baseball in particular is, it seems like it's really hotter than ever right now.
Well, you're right, because at that auction, and this isn't that long ago, a game used and signed bat from Ken Griffey Jr., okay, from his rookie season in 1989, that sold for over $50,000.
Yeah, there's a recession today too, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Just in case you're wondering where all of this liquidation is coming from. But you know, it's amazing what it goes back to what I said at the very beginning. Good stuff will always sell well. And these things are usually one of a kind, once in a lifetime things. Now, if you remember when Tim sold the Honus Wagner card originally, I think it sold for $600,000, and it's gone on since then to sell for millions. It just doesn't seem like there's any end in sight. I mean, these things, people keep them for a while, and then, not, you know, when they get to this level, they become a commodity. And they're treated as a commodity and a collectible. So if you have the wherewithal the next time that these items come up for auction, you better have a big checkbook handy, because they're never going to sell for less ever again. So I know that the I've been following Heritage as well, some of their sports sales. And also, you know, we've talked about comic books in the past. Well, Heritage has a phenomenal department for
it's you read my mind. That's what I have up next from the thing was the comic book art.
Yes, and not just the comic books, but the comic book art
yeah.
Which about up until about maybe 10 years ago, the art itself didn't really have the cachet that it does now. For some reason, we sold several large collections of comic books where some of the original art was also for sale, and nobody seemed to be interested. This was like 15 years ago. And now, oh my God, it's gone crazy. So, and there again, these are areas of collecting that us everyday Joes might be able to afford some of these things. So it's good to see that the auction market in all areas right now, it seems very, very, very strong, and not just in the really, really high end art commodity and jewelry commodities, but in other disciplines we can see. And, you know, I sent you the link this past week to that, to the car auction. It was only
it's a gorgeous. Yeah. The picture you sent. Yeah.
Unbelievable. It was really, I was a little disappointed because I thought, you know, 36 lots, they must be expecting a lot of, action on this, and there was a lot of people watching. There was a number of bids, but 36 lots, you would have expected, at least I would have expected it to sell these items that they must have been extremely rare, but apparently they only one or two of them were, and those were the ones that really performed well. But some of the other things, I mean, they're things that have been in existence during our lifetime that we remember as kids, you know, some of these cars. And to see them sell at auction, and some of them, you know, like there was a Ford, it sold, I want to say it was like $13,000 or $14,000. I did follow the auction, and the picture that I sent you was the one that was the most expensive that sold for, I forget what that sold for, but that was the highlight of the auction. So, and you know, considering the other auto auctions that we've talked about in the past, where they have hundreds and hundreds of lots on these car auctions, for this one to only have 16 lots, I thought, wow, this has got to be something special. But I was wrong.
Well, you know, it's funny. If my dad were alive, my father was a comedian, and he had very high taste in everything. But he loved trains and train sets. He even had an engineer's union make him an engineer's full uniform for running a train. And he would have been at this next, the Delaware train auction is coming up, and it's going to be side by side with an April Fool's auction on April 1st and 2nd. And I tell you what, there's so many train enthusiasts. I think I would love to go to the auction just to see what they have and how much they have of what they have.
Well, have you ever been to a model train auction?
No, never.
Let's just say that the train people are a little unusual. they can be very aggressive. They can be very aggressive. You'll see them standing in line looking at the auction next to somebody who is a colleague, and they'll be dissing the piece because they, you know, they want to buy it, but they don't want this person to get it. So it's a fun weekend. It's a fun weekend. Don't get me wrong, but just if you ever get a chance, you should go, because it's something that you probably will remember for a while, because they are very interesting collectors. That's been one of the things we've discovered over the years, is that the different disciplines, the people who collect those different in those different areas are as different as the collectibles. they collect. Doll owners, they're brutal. Bear owners, they are teddy bears. Train owners, they are vicious. So, I mean, it's, but if you ever get a chance to go to the Delaware shows, actually, I'm pretty sure that's an annual thing that they do, because there's a lot of train clubs up in that area. So we used to go to some of the conventions, which is something that I don't ever want to do again. Train, you know, there again, there's something, I don't know if it's in the water or what, but something's happening in just collectively across the spectrum, auction spectrum for collectibles and, you know, higher end collectibles without being the major art and everything over the past year and a half. And I don't know if it was cabin fever from having to be indoors for 3 years or what, but it's really good for the industry. And there's a lot of things that are coming up that haven't been seen for a long time. So you can sign up for on all the train sites, you can sign up for getting a list of when the auctions are. So, and you can do that in any of the disciplines. I mean, it's a good thing what's happening in the industry. It's very heartening considering what we've gone through over the past 3 years.
I tell you, I learn more and more as I get these headlines. And well, we're out of time, but now you think Tim might be joining us next week?
I think so. Yes, he's scheduled to be home. But just before we go, I have one thing that I want to make you aware of, and also any listeners out there. Julian's coming up on March 30th has an entire auction of Apple, dating from 1978 up to 2013. All of the it's a single owner collection. And if you go to julians.com, julianslive.com, you can see the catalog of everything. And there's the very first models all the way up to like we have the iMac. They're the first iMac big screen was in 2008 to 2013. They have that up for sale. So, I mean, this was a single owner collection and the stuff has never been touched. So, and the bidding starts mostly at $100. So some of these things, like, you know, the Apple III or the, some of the more famous ones, they all started $100. So God only knows what's going to happen, because this is a single owner collection. And I think it's going to be worth, I want to mention it now because I have a feeling it's going to be in the news. I have a feeling we're going to be talking about this in the future.
Well, to people, and it's, you know, even if they things start off cheap and get out, if you get an early bid in, at least you kind of feel kind of cool participating in the auction.
Yeah, I know. I do that all the time just to feel like, oh my God, I was part of that history.
All right. Well, next, we'll speak to you next week and give our best to Tim during the course of the week.
If I see him, yes.
Okay. All right, Greg, have yourself a great week.
Hey, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.